Alright, so we're skipping the piece Aramim Chalakai HaMelech, and we're doing the piece Malchuscha Malchus Kalei Elohim. I think it's also very very suitable to the time that we're in. We're going into the season of Malchus tonight, right? Lefi Minhag Ashkenaz, we start saying Slichas, which is very much centered around the Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim, on the idea that Hashem is the King sitting on the throne of mercy. And of course, Rosh Hashanah is the day when we are Machtir the Melech, when we coronate the King. As such, it's, I think, another Hashkacha protest that we get up to this piece exactly, when we're getting up to it. The pasuk in Ashrei of Malchuscha, Malchus Kalei Elamim, Umimshaltech B'chol Devedar, your kingship is the king of all, literally all worlds, and your rulership is in each and every generation. So, the Gra is a famous Gra that distinguishes between Malchus, what's the difference between a Melech and a Moshel, a king and a ruler. So the Gra says in Mishlei that Malchus is when people receive the yoke of his Malchus, the yoke of his kingship, they receive it with will. Okay? Whereas the term Moshel, ruler, is even against, the will of the people. It's by force. So that's what the Gra, and I think that, if I remember correctly, I think the Ibn Ezra says such a thing also somewhere. But that's in, as far as the difference between Melech and Moshel. But we'll see that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is going to be discussing this pasuk all as an inyan of Malchus. I noticed that the Radak, I looked up the Radak in the pasuk in Tehillim, and he just says, he just also relates to it as just one Malchus. He doesn't get into the distinction between Melech and Moshe, and he says the pasuk is just using double words for the same inyan. It's interesting that that's the way he learns. And that's clearly true of the pasuk in general. Obviously, it's a description of Malchus, even if Moshel is against the will, but it's a form of Malchus, right? The Av, the father category here, is certainly the idea of Malchus. I'll just say that I personally had a lot of thoughts on current events, on the idea of Malchus, right? With the Queen of England passing, and there's this long stretch of mourning, and the funeral is supposed to be, I don't know exactly when, this coming week, Monday. Okay, it's good we have an English participant. Royalist. And the truth of the matter is that I was thinking that, obviously everything that happens in the world, we're always supposed to connect it. Anything that happens is really Hashem speaking. Right? All current events are something we're supposed to take out of it. And I thought it's actually quite amazing, the idea that this concept of monarchy, which is basically gone from the world, and England, there are some other whatever, but certainly England takes the cake. Is the most important and biggest powerful country that still has a monarchy, and the idea that it's brought to the fore during Chodesh El, right? Hashem that brought about that she would pass away, and the focus of the world to a certain degree is on this idea of Malchus. I think for us that's somewhat telling. For me personally, it certainly was telling. Is like I found myself thinking about the whole concept of Malchus and how that reflects on the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Malchus Yisrael. So I'll share with you one of the thoughts that I had. Clearly, in the modern world, right, Malchus has no place, right? The modern viewpoint, which is basically liberal, okay, doesn't allow, right, for the idea of a monarchy, which just goes not through merit, but through blood, through inheritance, and specifically, you know, with all sorts of rules. And it's actually pretty amazing and pretty paradoxical that a country like England, which is rather open and with many, you know, liberal views in general, still has a tremendous appreciation at large. You know, there are those who obviously contend the idea of monarchy, but in general, the English public are very fond of the monarchy. I think that's actually very, very interesting. It's like very very amazing. And and then one of the things that they spoke about, or they speak about, you know, is that it's like a unifying factor in England, that's a little beyond politics, right? The Queen's remained, who knows what's going to be now, we don't know, but, you know, we don't know if this was the death of monarchy from the world in the sense of that the people really appreciate and really take to it and find it, look to it for unity, right? The idea of the Israeli president was supposed to serve that function, never actually did. but that's one aspect, which we know that that's the one of the functions of Malchus, of the Melech, is the kibbutz, is gathering everyone together and unifying the nation. I'm saying as far as Malchus Yisrael, that's supposed to be one of the main tefkidim, one of the main roles that the king in Israel plays, and clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays that role, right? The Asu Chulam Aguda Echas, Lasu is saying, right, it's part of the igud of binding us together. We're supposed to all accept his Malchus. It's his whole name, huh? Right, this Asif Rashi'om, right? Yibushur Melech, this Asif Rashi'om, right? Beautiful, right? That's exactly what the Malchus is about, is the people gathering around him as a center. We're going to speak about this actually in Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. I think we'll get to this a little bit in a moment. Anyway, just an interesting thought that I had, I'm throwing it out. Obviously, people can agree or disagree. My thoughts are, you know, that something that, you know, to me, English people do seem more certainly compared to Americans, very courteous, you know, well-mannered and orderly compared to Americans, certainly, but even compared to other countries. And I think that my personal belief is, has a lot to do with the monarchy, because the monarchy gives a certain appreciation of ceremony. And what did you say? What was the word?
Heirs and graces.
Heirs and graces. Okay, spoken from the mouth of an Englishman. And there's something actually pretty amazing about that. People waiting in line calmly, you know, like the orderly. I think that the whole idea of Malchus actually really brings, when it's part of the culture, brings a certain seriousness, a certain nobility to the masses, the behavior of the masses as well. It doesn't mean there are no issues. There's no, right? There's that. That's, but I think this is a very big milah that we're lacking in the world. Even that idea of tradition, like we have Baruch Hashem in Torah. Through Torah, we have our tradition. We're connected we're connected to our heritage. But if you don't have Torah and you don't have Malchus, so you don't really have roots, you don't really have heritage, and that's something which is also very, very important and very meaningful. And anyway so that's an interesting thing that you know, these ideas. And of course, when we, you know, the Gemara says you should run, the Gemara in Brachos in three places, says that you should run to see Malchei Yisrael, and not only Malchei Yisrael, but even to see the kings of the Goyim, non-Jewish kings, so that if you're going to be Zeche, you'll be able to see the difference between the Malchei Akum and Malchei Yisrael, because you're going to see when Mashiach comes and the Jewish Malchus comes back, you're going to see how much greater the Malchus Yisrael is going to be, and how much greater the Jewish people are going to be than anything you're seeing now. So we obviously, I even though the Gemara says Yavchin, it should be Zeche to be Mavchin between the two things, but it also means that you'll also, if you're being told to be mavkin between two things, and you're really also being told to also look at their similarity, to reflect on the similarity and then distinguish between the two. Because you have the phrase, right, well, that's apples and oranges. You don't have the phrase, well, that's apples and chairs. Because apples and chairs have nothing in common, whereas apples and oranges do, and then you have to distinguish, you know, find the distinction between the two. And then, okay, you're comparing two different things, but there's still some kind of similarity. And same thing with Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Akum, there's a similarity. There is a certain common denominator, but Malchus Yisrael goes way beyond that. And of course, Malchus Yisrael is really supposed to be a vessel and a kli for the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malchus of Beis David, Malchus of Mashiach ben David, is just the anointed one from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is bringing the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here. But Be'etzem, it's the Malchus Shamayim that we are looking forward to, that we are davening for, and it's a Malchus Shemayim, which is what all the tefillas of Rosh Hashanah are centered around. So, with that hakdama, let's look a little bit at what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe has to say about the Inyan Gadol Tamen B'Koyach HaMalchus. That's the way he begins this explanation on the pasuk of Malchus HaMalchus Kol Olam Mishalta B'Chol Devador. He says there's a big Inyan, there's a big Inyan that's hidden in the power of the Malchus. That the beings, the people, the beings, should be kfufim, subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mitzad their hasagasam. Do you mind just closing the window? I think, yeah thanks. Mitzad their hasaga. Okay, that people, the beings, should become subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from their understanding, Shiavinu Haim. The window, there's the window here that's open. Yeah. No, it's not open? Okay. It's just because it's a caravan, so. Okay, so they should understand Shetzrichim Lizbatalafonov. The idea is that the beings, the constituents, right, should be realized that they need to become nullified before the Melech, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's talking. Kimoshe ein loy ma'al adam shu melech al susim v'chamorim she'inam baleidea. The same way you wouldn't say about a person that he's a king over the horses and the donkeys, who don't have any knowledge, they have no minds, right? That's not called Malchus. To be in charge of the horses and the donkeys is not a melech. So, to be a melech, you have to be melech over people that have minds, that have das, that have understanding, and then you could be a melech. And the Malchus stems from the agreement of the people, from the understanding of the people, that they need to be subservient to and listen, mizbatel, nullify themselves to the Malchus, to the Melech, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lachein tzorech shanimtzoim yihiu bali b'chira v'ratzon. And therefore you need that the beings, right, will be those who have free choice and free will. She'im mekablam aleim o machos shemayim mirtzeinim atov yushlam koyach ha-malchus. So then, by them accepting upon themselves the yoke of Malchus Shemayim from their goodwill, in that way the koach of Malchus becomes completed, becomes wholesome. Okay, that's a meaningful, true, full Malchus. Just again, come back to this, an interesting point, right? I heard some people say, well, you know, the English monarchy is not a real Malchus because they can't kill people. And we do find that in Halacha, that there's a very big relevance of, right, real Malchus kills, you know, has the ability to take life. But the aspect of, you know, it being Tatsun of the people, that's an aspect of Malchus, which Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying here, is actually, in a certain sense, is deeper. And again, I've said it in the past, because the Zohar says that Malchus is, the quality of Malchus is let lamigar maklum, it doesn't have anything of its own. And I've asked in the power, like the past, that's very counterintuitive, because the Melech is the ruler. What do you mean? The Melech has everything. They have like all the riches and all the power. So I explained that it's not really true, right? The crown, right? The malchus doesn't have any meaning unless there's a people that's giving it koach, right? As a person, you could be a wise person. In essence, you're a wise person. That's not you don't. It's not a It's not a relative term. Okay, it's not relative, at least at its base. But king, to be king, you have to be king over others. So you need the zulat, you need the others here. So all your power really is coming from the recognition of the others. So that's the idea that the Zohar is saying. And so therefore that's actually very, that's a characteristic, that's a very root, characteristic of and quality of the Malchus. I think even more than the ability to kill. The ability to kill is I would say, is after that. It's a second. That's one of the powers of the Malchus that show. It's more an indicator of the Malchus. But as far as a defining quality of the Malchus, then a defining quality of the Malchus, what the Zohar says is that it has none of its own light. It only gets what it's given from the people. Ein melech b'lo am, as famously said in the Sfarim. There's no king without people. And now Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, "V'zeu soid b'riyas ha'ilamos." This is the secret of the creation of the worlds. This is the secret of the creation of the worlds. Lefi she'me'amitus metziusai, because from the truth of His metzius, of Hashem's metzius, the truth of God's being, notzah koach ha'malchus, the power of malchus was formed. The koach zehu rak al azulat, and this power is only on the others. Like we said, it's depend on others. It's only on over others. V'al bali b'chira dafka, and specifically over free choosing people. Uletam ze niskavin Rabbeinu Arizal, and it is this reason that that Rabbeinu Arizal was intending the perek alf me'etz chaim shari gulim v'yosher. This is what the Arizal meant in the first perek of Etz Chaim. And this is a more inner reason than the reason that the Arizal gives in Shara Klalim of that Hashem created the world in order to bestow His goodness. But truthfully, it's all one thing. Because the perfection, the wholeness of the measure of God's goodness is also the secret of the Malchus, v'havein heitev, and understand. And obviously, we don't understand anything because we don't know yet what it says in the first parak of Eitz Chaim. So I want to do that just very, I want to look at the Eitz Chaim with you. You actually have Eitz Chaim here if you want to take a look to see what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, because it's actually an amazing idea that he says. Also, another thing what I want is a chumash. Do you see a chumash here, Bereshis?
Sirushat.
Huh?
Sirushat.
No, that we don't need right now. Oh, yeah, down there there's chumash and chumash. There we go. Thank you. Okay, so the first parak of Eitz Chaim is one that's very deep. And somebody once told me about a certain mechaber that there's words of kfira in this mechaber's svarim. So I said, really? I said, can you give me an example? So they gave me an example. I said, that's not words of kfira. It's just you don't understand what he's saying. I said, if you want to judge based on that, look at the first parak of the Arizal Eitz Chaim. That's also kfira. As we're about to see, lechara, that's kfira, unless you understand what he's saying, right? The Rizal was assuming he's writing to people that are there, that are going to know what he's talking about. And well, he didn't really want his ksavim to come out, but his talmidim that he was teaching were talmidim that were there. So the Arizal starts off like this: Be'inyan tachlis hakam. We're not going to learn the whole entire piece, but we'll learn some of it. Benyan tachlis hakavana shel b'riyas ha'olamos. The Arizal wants to discuss what is the purpose of the creation of the world. What's it all about? Why did Hashem? We'll see. Let's just leave it at that for now. Neva'er atashtei chakirish nisasku b'ema makubalim. We're going to discuss. If you want, here you can give him a Eitz Chaim here.
Where are you reading?
Daf Yud Aleph. That's the first parak. Chelek Aleph, Daf Yud Aleph. So he says, we'll discuss now two chakiras that the Mekubalim have dealt with. Hachakira Rishayna, the first in inquiry. But the first Chachamim and the later Chacham and the earlier Chacham and the later Chacham all investigated to know what was the reason for the creation of the world. What was the reason? And they all got together and decided and said, Ki Sibas Hadavar, the reason of the matter Haya was. Because God has to inherently be whole in all his actions, in all his powers, and in all his names of Gdulo, Maile, the covet of greatness, high level, and glory. And if he did not manifest his actions and his powers, didn't come out into manifestation, into action, then he would not be called whole. Not in his actions and not in his names. Before we go on. So what is he saying? Unmanifested potential is a deficiency. That you did not manifest. That is a chisaron. That is a lacking. Right? Wholeness is when the potential is utilized. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all these great names and all these like names of greatness and all these qualities of greatness, if he's not able to utilize them, if he's not able to manifest and express them in action and they just remain in potential, then Hashem, God kiviyochol, would be lacking. And that can't be. So Hashem, this is wild, needed the creation. There we say such a word, that's kfira l'chara, right? He needed the creation, he needed us for him to be whole. It's actually quite frightening, such an idea. I'll explain what these words are, right? They're not the way it sounds, but so he says, kinei Hashem agadol. Okay, no, actually, that's enough. He talks about the Yud Kei Vav Kei, Haya Hay Ve'iyah, and he talks about the Chem Shem Adnos, Nikras Kein Alaraz Adnos, right? He's called Master. He's called Ado. No, right? He's called a Master. Well, he's only a Master, he says, Hayos La'avadim. If he has servants, Vu Adoin Aleim, and he's Master over them, then he's a Master. Vim Lo Yenivroim, if there were no creations, Lo Yuchali Kara B'Shem Adon, then he couldn't be called a Master. And the same way he says by other names. And so too with other things that are not literally the names, they're like nicknames. Kigoin Rachum, the Chanon, Erech Hapayim, the Mercy One, the Compassionate One, the long, Patient One. Lo Yikar El Shmam. He wouldn't be able to call by those names. Zulas Bios Nivram Ba'olam, except for the fact, right, that there are beings in the world that now will call him Shikru Lo Erech Hapayim. They're going to call him Patient. V'chiyotzeb Zev Shai Kinuyim Kulam. So Bekitzer, this is the first Chakira in Kisvei Arizal, the first, right? Why did Hashem create the world? Well, he needed to create the world, because otherwise he would be lacking. All his potential would be not manifested. That's a very deficient state of being. That's the first Chakira. Now you have to understand, the Arizal is not asking why Hashem began the process of creation. What the Arizal is, the risk goes starting from a much later point. After God decided to make some kind of revelation, which basically means the world of Atzilus, after he decided to be metzamtzem himself, to constrict himself, for reasons unknown, not only unknown, but unknowable reasons. We can't ever know. This is not something that anyone ever will know or can know. Right? It's inherently private to it. To the Ein Sof, to the Infinite One. That's the step where no one can ask a question. The Arizal is asking the question later. After God has already given himself a name, he's constricted himself and allowed himself to be called Yudke Vavke. Well, now, the Arizal asks, why didn't he just stop at that stage of Atzilus? Why didn't he just stop at that stage of revelation? Not only that, we're going back to it. this whole creation is in order to bring back, to bring everything, elevate back, everything, elevate everything back up to Atzilus state, to a godly state. So like, let's cut the chase. Why don't you just stop at Atzilus? Why do you want to go through the whole breakage of Bria Yetzira Asiya and then bring it back? So that's the answer. The answer is, well, once God has decided to allow himself to be revealed to a certain degree and allowed himself and given himself these names of Yudke Vavke, Adoin, Rachum, Vachanan, all these things, well, to who is that? That would already be potential, that's not manifest. So therefore, at that point already, he had to go through with the rest of the process and create Bria Yetzira Asiya in order for these names to be manifest. So the question looks very different than it is. It's actually, if you want to say in Yerba Medayik, it's the reason for the Brias Ha'olamos, not the reason for the Atzilus Ha'olamos. The reason for the going from the stage of Atzilus into Bria and down, not for worlds at all. That's not the issue, because you can't go there. Okay? Now, that's the first Chakira. The second Chakira, he says, is close to the question of Mala 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 Mata. And basically, he asks the question, why did Hashem create the world when he did? Okay, that's what he says. The second, top of the second column, in the Chakira Azos, Asher Shoylem, the question that they ask is, Lama Brios Eilem Azel Hayib Azman Shoyev Eloi Kaidem Acharkach? Why was the creation of the world at the time that it was, not before and not after? So he says, you have to know, I'll give you this summary of what he says. Basically what he says is that the whole concept of time is just about spheres. It's just process. So because this is the process, there's the system of spheres that God created, that God made, right? So the stage of this world being created, meaning Bria, is just, that's where it is in this ladder of time, in the ladder of spheres. In other words, you can't ask why was it before and not after, because this is the way it goes. Keser, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, etc., etc. Adam Kadmo, Natsilus, Bria, Tzira, Asiya. Everything is exactly when and where it is, because that's the system that he set up. So, also, the same Yesod is that he's not asking all the way back. The Nekudas HaTzimtzim, the point of constriction where he sets things going, that's not the question. We can't ask such a question. There's no time there. He's asking where there's already time. There's already some level of creation already, right? Meaning Atzilus. There's already something. There's already a world, spiritual, albeit spiritual, right? But there's worlds. Now he's asking, so why was the creation Bria when it was? Well, very simply says the Arizal, in more complicated language. Well, that's where it is on the stage of process. So there's time already in the question. You see that there's time. Okay. I understand that this needs more. Normally, I would give a full shiur of an hour on this parak. So we're just doing somewhat of a kitzer, just to get the idea. This is what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is referring to. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, the first chakir particularly. What is the reason for the creation? The reason for the creation is so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be all the things that, the qualities that he's revealed, the names. But in a nutshell, Malchus. In order for him to be a Melech. In order for him to be Melech HaOlam. Right? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Right? Malchus really is the kli for all the names to become manifest. The actual manifestation of God is called Malchus. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, this first parak of the Arizal is the most fundamental point of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, is the Sod of Malchus. Is the Sod that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be revealed and accepted and recognized by the world. Shakol Baruch L'Chvoydeh, everything is created for his glory, means that there has to be recipients that recognize his glory and accept upon themselves his Malchus. And says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, that is a deeper reason than the other reason mentioned in Arizal, which is in Shaar Klolim, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to bestow goodness on others. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, this is a deeper reason, but really they're two sides of the same coin, if you want to say, right? They really are part and parcel of the same inyan, because he says the shlemus of the midah of his goodness is exactly the sod of the malchus. When Hashem reveals himself, what's he revealing? He's revealing the ultimate good. This is who he is. This is ultimate goodness. So you can take it from, when you're talking about hativ, that is the revelation of God. Revelation of God is malchus. Okay? I'm just noting, it's very interesting that the Ramchal says the opposite. In the Ramchal's notes on Eitzrus Chaim, which is printed in the second volume of the green set of Kisvei Ramchal, the volume called Ginzei Ramchal, the Ramchal says on the drush over there in the beginning of Eitzrus Chaim, L'siba Nadas, for the known reason, V'hili Kar Racham Achanan, that God should be called merciful and compassionate, that that's the reason God created the world, which is what we saw over here in this parak. So the Ramchal says, Zois Eina Asiba Rishena, this is not the first cause, El Hashnia, it's the second cause. For Rishena Techlisis Hi Inyina Hatava. But the first, ultimate reason is the Inyan of the Hatava. So he actually says opposite to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap writes over here. I think it's a matter of perspective, but I don't want to get into it now because it's not so important for us. I'm just pointing it out that, you know, it's an interesting thing to know. Okay, so says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Vaita, V'zeil Seyda Kosov Malchuscha Malchus Kol Olamim. This is the secret of the pasuk. Your kingship is the kingdom forever of all the world, I should say. Umimshalticha b'chol dar v'dar. Many translate kol olamim to mean forever. And then it's basically the same thing as b'chol dar v'dar. But Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is going to learn, which is more literally correct in translation, that olamim is worlds. So it's a spatial, not a temporal issue. Right? So your kingship is the kingship of all the worlds, and your rulership is on every generation. She'inyin oylamu misoid helim, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, the inyan of the world is from the secret of hidden, from being hidden. Right? The word oylam means hidden, because God creating the world was through him hiding himself. The world covers up and hides God. At the time that we picture for ourselves the essence of the world, whatever that aspect may be, according to whatever our understanding is, so too we are hiding his true metzius. In other words, whatever you're going to come to, that you'll come to some kind of definition and understanding, and that the essence of the world is X, Y, and Z, that is hiding the truth. Because the truth is just God's infinite self. God's, you know, being, his true being. So any classifications of words already cover up the truth. V'zeo kol olamim. And that's what it means. I'm sorry. Sha'arei e'ef shalem etzias olam b'li tzimtzum v'helam. Because of existence of a world without constriction and concealment. V'zel kalaylamim. That's what it means. All the worlds, kol ha'lamos, all the concealments, shenishavu merum piskas hamachshava ad sof kalaylamos, all the concealments that have come into being from the top peak of the machshava, of the thought, right, all the way up there, up to the end of all the worlds. Ein ach v'rak koyach machusi yisbarach. They're all just the power of his malchus. Malchuscha malchus kalaylamim. All the concealments and everything are all only the power of God's malchus. Sheshara koiches ein lanu beim shum siach v'avon eklal. Because all the other powers we have no understanding and ability of speech in. V'chol ha'asogas ein ach b'mashen esgal lanu machuscha machus kol olamim. And all the understanding are just merely what's revealed to us, that your malchus is the revelation of all the worlds. What the Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is hinting to here is a big yesod which the Ramchal expands on in Kalach Pischei Chachma, and a yesod which is found in the Sifrei Kabbalah in general. All, and we've mentioned in the past, ultimately, all we see is the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to us certain characteristics, but we don't see those characteristics. We see the revelation of the characteristics. All, and that's called the Malchus of the Ein Sof. That's what the Arizal says. All tzimtzum takes place. The constriction took place in the malchus of the Ein Sof, in the kingship, in the lowest point of the infinite being. Because what is malchus? It's expression. It's expression. It's manifestation. And that's where Rabbi Yaakov Meir is saying, malchuscha malchuscha l'olamim. All the concealments, the whole business, the whole tzimtzum, that's what concealment is malchus, is the malchus of the Ein Sof. Ultimately, that's all we ever get to. Okay, that's all we get to.
But is this in contrast to the other spheres?
To a certain degree. In other words, again, thinking experiment, you'd be able to, so to say, you would be able to kibayachal say that there's, if you're saying that there's a malchus of the Ein Sof, you're kibayachal indicating that there are spheres above that malchus of the Ein Sof. But those you don't really see, because all you see is them through the funnel of malchus. Okay? Which is the idea in Nevuah, in prophecy, that the Nevi'im all saw through an aspaklaria. Even Moshe Rabbeinu saw an aspaklaria hame'ira, but it's still an aspaklaria. It's some kind of glass. It's some kind of, you know, mechitza there. And that mechitza is what allows revelation. If you didn't have some kind of mechitza, we wouldn't be here. Right? The metzias of the world is only b'schus, the constriction which is done through malchus of the Ein Sof. That's what it is. Revelation, manifestation, that is the helim, that is the tzimtzum. The tzimtzum, the constriction, the hiding is the revelation. That's the malchus.
Am I correct in seeing in this paragraph also that a lot of this description is in consciousness?
Yeah.
The sentence, which is pretty strong on that.
Yeah, which sentence?
Lines 2 and 3.
Whatever, according to our Hasaga.
Whatever oilom kafi hasagas, and we are ma'alim.
Exactly.
Because it's not possible.
Exactly.
We're the ma'alim.
Yeah. But that inherently has to take place because we have to understand things based on whatever we understand. There has to be a we, there has to be a thought, there has to be, yeah. Okay, let's just finish off, and then maybe for another minute, I want to point out something fascinating in Sefer Bereishis, in Parshas Bereishis. Memshaltecha b'chol dar v'dar, your rulership is in throughout every generation. Mechuvel inyan hazman, over here already, the pasuk is moving over to the aspect of time, right? Olamim was worlds. And now it's moving over to his rulership is in time. The Fisha B'Shah, every generation is time. The Fisha B'Shah, Shinu Mitzrayim, Ezem Ushal Olam. Because at the time that we picture some kind of essence of the world, we're really concealing the true Metzius from two aspects. Mepchinas HaMokom, Mepchinas HaZman. Both from the aspect of space, but also from the aspect of time. Like Einstein tells us, right? The world is time space, right? Existence is time space. So there's two factors. Sfarno also the beginning of Bereishis Bara says that's the beginning of time and space. So there are two aspects here. We're concealing in both. Gam helim shebechinas hazmanu mitzad gilu koyach malchusay. Also the concealment in the aspect of time is also from the revelation of the koyach of his malchus. Shekach shir bedaiti yisborach, that's what Hashem measured out, that to reveal his malchus you also need the concept of time, the same way you need the concept of space. In other words, theoretically, right, who needs time? No, Hashem saw time as an important aspect of concealment that is necessary to conceal him in order to reveal himself. So one thing I want to point out, Rabbi Yaakov Meir doesn't say it, but ultimately this is the second chakira in the Arizal that we saw, that he pointed to in the beginning. When it spoke about he spoke about the spatial factor, he pointed to the Arizal, that this is the reason for the world's creation. Well, the second chakira pointed out that the reason the world was created when it was created, the time factor. That was the discussion of the second chakira that we saw, was the time factor. That's memshaltecha b'chol dar v'dar. All that concealment, in other words, this, it took take the process, is part of the helam that the Rebbeinu Shlom brings. That the part of the concealment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought was there's going to be a process, and it became it's a long process, right? 10,000 years, and we go through a lot of, and we don't see the Yad Hashem, and something, but when you look at it, especially when Mashiach is going to come, you're going to look at it, the big picture, we're going to see how everything was all geared the entire time to save him, because Shabbat brought everything exactly when in order to get to this massive revelation that we're going to see Be'ez Hashem very, very soon, when the Malchus of Geshbaruch is going to be Mizgala to all of humanity and all the universe. Now, what I want to just point out and is that this idea of the Malchus being based on I'm just realized I'm waiting to see the under 10 minutes on the Zoom, and like, what's going on? It's not a half hour yet. I forgot. I just we have a plan now, so it's no longer the indicator. So the indicator has to be if I see people getting fidgety.
The Englishman won't get fidgety.
Yeah. I'm half English, so I could see the fidgety on the English person too.
That's shlichos in 10 minutes.
Okay, that's a good one. Alright, so like this, I just want to point out, it's fascinating, this idea of Malchus, right? The world was created, this whole piece of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, that it's human beings that make HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech. The world was created on Chaf Hei El. But we say the world was created, we call it Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because that's the day that we coronate the Melech. He became a Melech only on Aleph Tishrei, which is when he made man. Right? Because it's Toli and Bali Bechira. Now, more than that, how does Malchus work? How does this work? How does the situation of Malchus work? In order for him to create man, he needs to be mitzamtzem himself, that kiveyachol, he becomes needy. He needs something from the other. Because that's what are we, Malchus? We people are rooted in Malchus. All creation is rooted in Malchus. Receivers of God's good. And like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe said, we need to recognize, part of Malchus is that we should be able to recognize that everything we have is from Hashem. In order for Hashem to do that, there has to be a parallel aspect by Him that He needs something from others. This humility, right? This meat of humility that Geshbrocha Kiviyachol receives from others. Well, that's exactly what takes place for the first time in Maaseh Bereishis. It's so fascinating. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Vayoyim Elakim, God says, Nase Adam B'tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu. Let us make man in our image. So Rashi says, right? Rashi says, Afal pi shaloi siyu b'tziroso, even though they didn't help him in the creation, v'yeshimakam lapi karsim lirdois, and there is place for that Bikarsim to make mistakes. The Pasuk didn't stop from saying this in order to teach Derech Eretz, Umidas Hanava, and the measure of Hanava, measure of humility. Look at that word, Nimlach. That the Godol should be Nimlach, the Noitel Rishus Min HaKatan. Now, Nimlach, we know, even though it's the Oisis of Melech, it's consulting others, or sometimes changing your mind. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiveyachol makes the others the melech over him. He says, I'm consulting your opinion. Right? The Rashi before that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the melech, Nimlech bepamalya shalom. He asked the pamalya, no, what do you say? Is it a good idea to make man? Why is he doing that now? Dafka, why didn't he do it before? After he created after the first day, why didn't he consult the heavens, the pamalya shalmala, the hosts, and say, well, let's go create the grass, let's go create all these different things? Because it's man that is true Malchus. And if it's man that's true Malchus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to reveal Paul this aspect of needing others' advice, needing their opinion. He doesn't really, but it was a revelation of this Midah, and that's Nimlach. He's Nimlach, Nas Adam. Because it's recognition of man that is the Bechin of Malchus, that gives the true Malchus. And that is coming out very strong and clear in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let us make man. That's the Gilui Ma. I think it's a fascinating thing. So Basim, just to come back to Rosh Hashanah, you know, I know we didn't speak about the aspect of Yom HaDin this year, in the past maybe we didn't speak, but really, ultimately, Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchus. It's the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. The Din is just an extension of that Malchus, it's a part of that Malchus, and we should be, you know, the coronation that took place in England of the new king, right, whatever. So it's nothing compared to what we should be Zeicha. Well, we are Zeicha. Every single Rosh Hashanah, the Shofar is blasting, Kol Yisrael being misragish, excited, maybe nervous somewhat, but excited. And Bez Hashem, we should be Zeicha to that Hisragshus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, the Melech Rachman, a Melech that loves us, a Melech that wants to give to us.
King without a temper.
Huh?
King without a temper.
A king without a temper, yes. And we should be zeicha that the whole world, Yakiru Malchuscha, we say it all the davening, right? Some of the most beautiful things, how the whole world should be the Avinu, what's Lashon of their Kesser Melucha, Yidnu Lucha Kesser Melucha, that paragraph, that the whole world will give the Kadosh Baruch Hu the Kesser Melucha. That's a beautiful tefillah that the whole world should recognize. We say it every day to Aleinu. The whole world should recognize. So, as Hashem, we should be zeichet that halavai before Tavshin Pei Beis, but before Tavshin Pei Gimel, but if not before, at least on Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Pei Gimel. Okay, a good vach to everyone.
Thank you.
Any questions? Ha'aris. Okay. A good vach, and yeah, take care.